Well, if you were here earlier pre-service, you saw a video going that was asking that question. Logan just walked us through some of that as well. What do you want this Christmas season? What do you want? And maybe it's beyond want. Maybe it's what do you need? And maybe even we could extend it past that. What do you think God wants for you in this Christmas season? And I know that most of the time when we ask that question, we think gifts. We think about what may show up underneath the Christmas tree or what may show up in our dreams of those, you know, like car commercials, what could potentially show up in the driveway. It's never happened for me, but it sounds fine, I guess. It's usually where we go, right? What do we want? But that's not necessarily what I'm asking. What are you hoping for over the next few weeks? And maybe in order to help you with that, maybe you need to think off into the future. Maybe you need to think about January and looking back over December. And when you look back, how will you decide whether or not it was a good month or a bad month? A good season or a bad season? What are the things that you wish would happen over these next few weeks that could make you look back in January with satisfaction, with happiness, with joy, that you would call this time good? What would your win be? And I know that's a little bit vague. That's a little bit complicated. So let me give you some options of what this could potentially look like for you. Maybe your word this season is pause. Maybe you need a pause in life. Maybe you need a pause from the noise. Maybe the last few years have been chaotic for you. There's been political chaos and financial chaos or relational chaos. And I don't know what's happened in your life, but it seems like people are desperate for a few days that could feel different and be some sort of a break from normal life. Maybe you want the world to just be quiet for a moment. Maybe you hope or you're wishing that the Christmas lights and the music and the food and all the rituals would kind of force you to slow down in some way. And I know that I say that almost comically because usually this is the busiest time of year. But maybe in the moment you could slow down and enjoy life. Maybe the word you need right now is pause. Maybe it's reconnection. Maybe you're hoping for some sort of reconnection with some important people. Maybe it's a family member who has distance between you and them. Maybe it's a relationship where there's just an emotional or relational distance between the two of you. Maybe you're hoping that Christmas could force you and some of those relationships back together and create some healing. Maybe you need some reconnection. Maybe the word that you would use is just that word good. You just need something good because life is hard. And so you need something to happen. You need this season to prove that joy and generosity and beauty haven't been completely canceled. And so you need the perfect Christmas morning, or you need a night that ends in laughter instead of in debate. You need to know, is there still hope for good? Maybe that's what you're dreaming of. Or maybe your word is that word nostalgia. I don't know if you're aware of this, but right now there is an incredible increase in the sales of vinyl Christmas records and old school decorations. It's almost like people are deliberately trying to recreate their childhood experiences. They want to feel that innocence again, even if it's just for a couple hours. So maybe you're dreaming of some nostalgia. Maybe you want to feel again. The rest of the year, we seem to suppress our emotions, but something happens at Christmas with the music and the movies and the commercials and the gifts, and there's just this like general vibe of socially approved emotional expressions, right? Maybe that's what you need. And so you're going to cry at the cheesy, dumb Hallmark movies, or you're going to cry at the cheesy, dumb commercials, or you're going to cry because there isn't a new car parked in your driveway. I don't know. Maybe you get sappy with your parents. Maybe you tell your siblings that you love them without it turning into something weird, right? Maybe that's what you need. Maybe that's what you want, is just to be able to feel again. Maybe you need some magic, some tangible magic. World peace would be cool, right? But you'd probably settle for like your neighbors just doing something amazing with their lights set to Trans-Siberian Orchestra. Like, that'd be cool too. Something magical like that. Maybe you need the magic of Santa, or even the most magical thing that could possibly happen, a night with your family without anyone staring at their phones. Like, that would be incredible. Do you find yourself in any of these? Desperate for a pause or reconnection? Hoping for some good or some nostalgia to feel again, to experience magic? What are you looking for? What do you want? What do you hope? What do you hope would happen over the next few weeks? And maybe there's other words that we could put to it. Maybe what your heart desires most is peace. Maybe it's good news. Maybe it's joy or hope itself. Those are the things we're going to talk about the next few weeks. And what about in the original Christmas story? The real people that we read about in the Bible, they were real, which means that they had hopes and they had dreams and they had desires just like us. And they also had frustrations and disappointments and heartache just like us. Which means that as they were dealing with the Christmas story in very real time, they had real hopes and real dreams and real desires, and they also had real frustrations and real disappointments and real heartaches. In the moment, in the midst of the story, just like us. And so what are the original characters to the original Christmas story looking for? It wasn't Christmas. It wasn't a holiday season. They didn't have big plans or big dreams at that time. It was just another day. It was life as usual, filled with normal hopes and dreams. And I imagine that if we look closely, if we look into the story over the next few weeks, which we will, we're going to see ourselves in these stories as well. Now, today we're going to look at Mary and Joseph, where the Christmas story begins. And as we look into their stories, we're going to see that both of them needed peace. Mary and Joseph both needed peace. Now, what do I mean by peace? There's over a dozen different ways that you can define it, but we're going to identify it in these two simple ways. The first one is this: it's a state of inner calm, the state of stability. It's not having some sort of inner turmoil. It's what we would say being at peace. That's what it looks like. But peace can still exist even when I don't feel at peace, which is the second aspect that we're going to look at today. Even if I don't have that turmoil that is out around me, if I don't have it resolved, that I can still be at peace. I can still experience peace because my God is in control, and I know and I trust that his favor rests on his people. Peace can be an inner stillness, and it can also be an outward confidence, knowing that God is in control. Peace may be the thing that you need this Christmas season. Maybe you need some calm and stability. Maybe you need to remember that God is in control and that his favor rests upon his people. Because maybe your life is in turmoil. Maybe there are forces around you that you can't compete with, and they're working actively to steal your peace. Maybe you've gone through some abrupt life changes. Maybe you have a past with your own bad decisions, and you're still paying the price, and you're still suffering the consequences of those decisions. Maybe it wasn't even you. Maybe it was other people in your life who've made decisions or who've lived in certain ways that have caused conflict within your life, and you're still having to deal with that. Maybe you're like Mary and Joseph, where you have this call from God, and it isn't exactly what you wanted or what you hoped for, and it's put you in some conflict. Maybe it's just this Christmas season itself. Because you know that you're going to have to spend some time in rooms with people that you don't get along with real well. And the anxiety before you even get in the room terrorizes you, much less what actually happens once you're together. Maybe the Christmas season, you need something to cling to that can bring stillness to your life. And as we look at Mary and Joseph and their story, I think you're going to find that word peace doesn't even show up in either of their stories. And yet, as we dive in, peace is what Mary and Joseph so desperately needed. And maybe you do too. And so let's start with Mary. I want to actually read the full stories to you, let you kind of see it in the large scope. We're going to jump into both Mary and Joseph's stories, read a lot, and then we're going to pull out some really big ideas. So in Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26, this is the story of Mary. It says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, which Elizabeth is her cousin, her much, much older cousin, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, who was a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words. That word troubled, it means confused or perplexed, disturbed, unsettled. It means that Mary wasn't at peace. She needs some peace. There's turmoil now in her life because of this greeting. And it says that she was greatly troubled at his words. She wondered what kind of a greeting this might be. But the angel says to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." Which all sounds really cool. Mary didn't hear any of it. She says, "How is this going to happen? How will this be since I'm a virgin?" The angel answers, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word be to me be fulfilled." And then the angel left her. Now Joseph, so from Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 18, says this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. I love that word, quietly. Joseph is not at peace. There's now turmoil and there's conflict in his life, and he's seeking to resolve it himself. He's looking for peace. He's looking for a way for this to just get quiet and go away. But after he'd considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. I believe that Mary and Joseph both need peace, and I believe that they both find peace. And I want to pull out three really big ideas from both of their stories that I believe can transfer directly into your life today. That if you know that you're in need of some peace, if you know that you are desperate for some peace in this season that you are living in right now, these are things that you can hear today, that you can take today, and you can see like success in today. These are things that you can grab hold of, and it can change your life right now. If you want to know how to find peace, this is how you find it. Big idea number one, don't be afraid. Okay. That's it, right? Easier said than done, right? Go back to Mary's story. It says that the angel went to her, says, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary is greatly troubled at his words, and she wonders what kind of greeting this might be. Why is Mary troubled? An angel shows up and calls her highly favored, and he says that God is with her. All of those things are very weird or strange. That would trouble you, right? Kind of troubling, kind of concerning, kind of scary. And if you think Mary was troubled by the angel's introduction, how do you think she felt when the angel delivered the rest of the message? Because an angel showing up is scary. That tends to freak people out. You can see that all throughout Scripture. But even more scary is finding out that as a young teen virgin, you're suddenly pregnant. That's weird. That's scary. It's terrifying. And so Mary has plenty of reason to be more than concerned and more than troubled and even scared. It's even bigger than that, guys. It's like her future's gone. Like the implications of this are huge. This marriage that she's been planning, that doesn't exist anymore. That's going to fall apart. She's going to become an outcast in her community. She's likely going to lose any way to be financially secure. She can't make it. She lives in a culture that is so dependent on a man, whether that was your father or whenever you're handed off to your husband and then one day to your sons. This woman is losing everything that she possibly needs to be able to survive. There is no backup plan for her. There's no guarantee that her family will keep her or continue to take care of her. When a woman like Mary is in this situation like she's in, it usually ends up for her that she's either in extreme poverty and becomes a beggar, or she ends up as a prostitute. So yeah, Mary has some trouble here, doesn't she? She's deeply troubled, gravely concerned. She doesn't have a whole lot of options, and the options she has are not good. This is a big deal. She needs some peace. Step into Joseph's story. We're told that he was faithful to the law. He didn't want to expose her to public grace. Sounds like he was a fairly decent guy. So it says that he wanted to divorce her quietly because he needs some peace. He's seeking peace. He's not trying to make a big scene. He's not trying to draw any more attention to himself. He's already embarrassed. His plans are shot. The marriage agreement that he had in place is gone because now she's pregnant, obviously from some other dude. He's got to be very angry about all this. Disrupts his life significantly. He needs peace. So he tries to solve it himself. And the angel shows up and tells both of them the same thing. Begins by saying, "Do not be afraid." It's a common statement throughout the Bible. It's usually the first thing that the angel says when an angel shows up, because angels don't typically look the way that we see them or draw them. They tend to be terrifying. Fear has the potential to ruin the Christmas story before it ever gets going. And justifiably so. They have plenty to fear. The pregnancy itself, the relationships with their own individual families, how it's going to impact different things. What is even the meaning of this? Typically, God doesn't show up to announce pregnancies, so that's kind of a weird thing in what's going on. There's the public perception. There's the relationship of what should be a marriage. There's a financial burden. Joseph, we're told that he's even scared of just staying committed to her and what that may require. But the message from God is a quick encouragement. Don't be afraid. And I know it feels simplistic, and we'll unpack this more as we go this morning, but it may be what you need to hear today. Because maybe that's what your life looks like right now. Do you have problems that you don't have answers for? Do you have conflict that doesn't seem to have any potential for resolution? Don't be afraid. Even when you know this time of year should feel magical and special, but maybe it's the Christmas lights and the decorations and the music that's actually causing turmoil inside of you, because Christmas isn't always nostalgic. Sometimes it's painful. Sometimes it's a reminder of what was or what should be or what will no longer be. Even so, don't be afraid. Some of you may even think that God is just another thing to be scared of on top of the list of all of the other things that you need to be scared of. And if that's the case, then you don't know God. God's first message, God's first response is don't be afraid. He is a fear calmer. He is a comforter. He is a peacemaker. And if you are in a season of life where you need peace, then start by coming to God who loves to say, don't be afraid. Big idea number two comes from Mary at the end of the passage that we read in Luke chapter 1, where she says, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." I'm the Lord's servant. When the world around you tosses and turns, it's time for you to double down on your relationship with God and the role that he has called you to. Mary has every reason in the world to struggle with this moment. We've already looked at that. But what I wonder what it could have looked like if she would have refused. I don't know. I mean, we could play around with that idea, I guess. I'm not sure. She could have fought God. She could have refused to participate in this plan. We refuse to participate in what God's doing all the time, right? but she doesn't. She asks some questions, which, again, I think makes complete sense because this is some weird stuff. But in the end, she accepts and she takes it all on. And it blows my mind that 2,000 years later, we're still talking about Mary. And she's become a hero that we continue to talk about, right? But don't miss what makes her a hero. She isn't a hero because she asked enough questions and then she got enough answers. And she isn't a hero because she forced God to do it her way. And she isn't a hero because everything worked out for her in the end. That's not what makes her a hero. Mary turns into a hero in this story because she faced the chaos of the world that was laid out in front of her, and she listened to a God who told her to not be afraid, and she believed it. She trusted it. She trusted him and what God was saying instead of the chaos around her. The chaos tried to take her eyes off of God. That's what chaos and turmoil does in our lives. Mary could have lived in the fear of an unknown future, and instead she leaned in and she trusted in God. I mean, you can almost read it in the text. I mean, you can almost see her taking a deep breath, responding with a very simple, "I am the Lord's servant." It's incredible. Can you do that? How do you respond when the world around you isn't peaceful? How do you respond when the relatives show up on Christmas Eve and you know that they're going to say something offensive, and then they do, right? Are your eyes on the chaos, or can you say, "I am the Lord's servant"? How do you respond when the bills don't stop showing up in December and you end up getting in a fight with your spouse over the amount of money that you're spending on your kids and their presents? And then when your kids open their presents, they're not even grateful for the gifts that you got them, right? Which is a completely hypothetical situation, I'm sure. Are your eyes on the chaos? Or can you say, "I am the Lord's servant"? The world around you is not at peace. And you can go along with that. You could choose to not be at peace as well. You could contribute to the chaos. You could even run and hide. You could cower in fear. You could refuse to ever engage. Or you can step forward in the same way that Mary does. You can stare into the chaos. You can hear a God who says, "Do not fear." And you can respond with, "I am the Lord's servant." The world around you tosses and turns. You've got to lock in on your role. You are not a peace creator. You are the servant of the peace creator. Big idea number three comes from Joseph's story. Matthew chapter 1, towards the end, it says the virgin will conceive, give birth to a son, and they're going to call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Emmanuel may be my favorite part of the Christmas story. Emmanuel is a mind-blowing, life-changing, eternity-altering promise from God. It's even bigger than a promise. It's a reality. Of all the twists and turns throughout history, is there anything more surprising than the God of the universe, the God of all things, the God of creation? Is there anything more surprising than God becoming part of the world that he created? This name Emmanuel, it ushers in a seismic shift in history. It is one of the most comforting things that you could ever hear when facing chaos and turmoil. And that's where Joseph's at. His life has been flipped on its head. His hopes and his dreams and his plans, his finances, his reputation, every part of his life has become dependent and subject to this marriage with Mary, and now he doesn't know what his future could possibly look like. His reputation is shot when his fiancée is pregnant with another man's child. That affects his finances. He's losing money already invested in a wedding that he can't get back. Beyond that, his plans, his dreams, his hopes of a future, his family, all of these things are gone. It's just crushing around him. It looks like rubble. It looks like ashes. Everything within him in this moment thinks he has to start over. Have you ever been there? Have you ever worked hard to build something for yourself? Maybe it was a career, maybe it was a relationship, maybe it was your education. Have you ever pursued something, poured your entire life into something only to see it crumble around you? And maybe that isn't something that's in your distant past that you can remember. Maybe that's exactly where you are this Christmas season. Is your kid sick? Is your marriage hanging on by a thread? Is your job uncertain after the first of the year? Is grief ruling over you day and night? Do you know what you need in a moment like that? You need Emmanuel, God with us. And our God knows we need his comfort, and his greatest desire is to be with us. That's his greatest desire, to the extent that the most ridiculous thing that has ever happened in history is the arrival of God in the form of a baby in a manger. And maybe that's what you need to hear today. Maybe you need to take hold of that. You are not called to endure alone. God went to the greatest lengths possible to be with us. The world is chaotic, but your greatest problem is a reminder of God's presence. Peace is available with Emmanuel, God with us. Now, can you imagine what would happen if you actually lived this way? Can you imagine how this could make your Christmas season look different? Usually when we want to have peace in our life, it's about trying to control the environment around us. Mary and Joseph's chaos was about stuff that they didn't choose for themselves. And the temptation is to try to control everything and to create your own peace. What they needed was some inner calm and stability. And they found it. They found it when a God who is in control had his favor rest upon them. And they locked their eyes on that God. It's not about changing the chaos outside of us. It's about changing us. It's about me being different. It's about me responding differently. And so when those moments come up over the next few weeks that are going to feed that turmoil, that are going to try to steal your peace, you have the ability to do something different. You have the ability to go through life with courage. Don't be afraid. You're the Lord's servant. God is with you. It starts by making peace with God. That is, after all, what this is all about. That's why Jesus showed up in the first place. Not because he simply wanted to just ease our fears, not to simply call us to follow him, not even simply just to be with us. Jesus showed up to resolve the chaos that exists in the relationship that we have with God. Sin has damaged our relationship with God, and Jesus shows up to usher in peace. Maybe that's where you are today. Maybe you need to begin a relationship with this God and to begin being at peace with him. If you want to do that, I'd love to have that conversation with you. You can do so right now when I come and sit down. If you want to come have that conversation, we can do that. If you want to grab me after service or email me during the week, we need to do that. It starts by being at peace ourselves with God, but then it translates out into every edge of our lives. When we accept our role as God's servant, just like Mary does, where she says, I am the Lord's servant, if we can accept that, and when we choose to live with Emmanuel, God with us, because God's offered it and he's available and he wants to, if we can be the Lord's servant and we can let God live with us, then that phrase, do not be afraid, makes a whole lot more sense, doesn't it? And we can live with courage, and peace wins out. And so I want to invite you to a peaceful season. I want to invite you to a life of peace. I want to invite you to have a relationship with God that gives you peace. And maybe you have that relationship with him, but your life is still in turmoil and you need some encouragement. Maybe you need some prayer today. I'd love to do that with you as well. Again, I'll be sitting right up front. We've got an elder in the prayer room in the back who'd love to pray with you today. We have an opportunity today to interact with a God who wants to bring peace. If that's what you're needing, he's ready to give it. So let's do that. Why don't you stand? Let's go back into worship.